Open your Bibles very quickly to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Say, I got it when you get it. I'm going to read the same passage that was already read today by Minister Tate. It is James chapter 1. Verses 2, 3, and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Look at your neighbor, say, count it all joy. Look on the other side, tell them, count it all joy. All right, you can be seated. You can be seated. Count it all joy. Has anybody here ever had drama in their life? Let me see. One, two, three, four. Okay, that's most of y'all. If you haven't had drama, keep living. I promise you it's going to come to your life. You don't have to invite it. You don't have to ask it to come. All you got to do is just keep on living and drama will show up. Circumstances beyond your control. Matter of fact, drama has a key to your house. Drama comes uninvited. Without invitation, stays as long as it wants to stay. And James wants to deal with that. He wants to tell these Christians and these believers about it. He wants to talk to them about it. And I'm going to spend a few moments talking to you about it. Because I promise you, if you haven't had drama, you're going to have some. You're going to have some trouble. And he gives us instructions about it. And this is, here's why this passage was significant to me, because I look back over my life and I've had circumstances and situations occur, problems, pain, anxiety, situations occur. A lot of my problems and challenges have come with my family. Does anybody here know anything about family drama? Life would be great if you didn't have to deal with people. Look at your neighbor and say, life would be great if you didn't have to deal with people. Yeah, people, human beings. If it was just me and my dog, life would be just wonderful. But it's not quite like that. And so one day my daughter, my oldest daughter, Sarah, calls me up. It's about 2 years ago. Some of you have heard this already, so act like you ain't never heard it. Sarah calls me up and she's crying. She's devastated because she had applied for a college job, coaching job that she didn't get. Matter of fact, she thought she was going to get the job. She felt that she had interviewed well and it was a job that she felt she was going to get. So she was in the final running, one of the last two candidates, interviewed well. She felt that she was going to get it, but she didn't. She got the call that they selected the other person. She was devastated, crying like a baby, couldn't go to work for 3 days. And she called me, Daddy, to talk to me about it. Now here's the drama, is I didn't know what to tell her. Here I am, the man of God, telling other folk how to deal with circumstances. But when my own family calls me, I'm at a loss for words. And the reason I was at a loss for the word, because she had heard just about every sermon I had ever preached. She had grown up, we had taught her, trained her, and I thought that by now she would understand how to handle life's problems and challenges, but yet she was devastated by it. And then I thought about James. James said she ought to count it all joy. It took y'all a long time for the 15 of y'all to clap. Some people didn't even pick their hands up to clap, didn't thought about it. Because that's a strange advice. It's strange to tell somebody in the middle of hell that they're going through, count it all joy. But that's what James says. He's writing. And the thing about James is he starts off right at the top of the letter, right at the top of the epistle, within the first two verses. He starts off punching them in the face, telling them, count it all joy. Now, here's what that means. Follow me. Can y'all hang with me for a few moments? I know y'all tired. Y'all been jumping and waving and singing, but just hang with me for a few moments. I promise I'll be done. This will be worth your while. He tells them to count it all joy. Here's what that means. That means, here's what count it all joy. The word count means when you are looking over the affairs of your life. When you're looking back over what you've gone through and you are writing your biography, you are writing the letter, you are testifying about your life, and you're thinking about all of the wonderful things that have happened in your life, James says, don't skip the difficult times. He says, count it all joy. He says, count it, count it. That word count means to consider it. Look at it and put it in consideration. Don't skip it. Don't go past it. But consider it. Put it. Matter of fact, here's what the text says. I'm right here in the text. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Count it joy. That means joy means delight, joyful. Smile about it. Be glad. Shout. Rejoice about it. And he uses a little word that I wanted to know what it means. Count it all. He says count it all joy. So number one, he tells us what to do. Somebody say what? Say it again. What? He tells us what to do. And what he tells us to do is count it all joy. Now I looked up the word because I know some of y'all wouldn't know what this means. So I looked up the word all and looked up its meaning to get the etymological definition of it in its deepest construct in original language. And I wrote the definition down because I wanted to give it to you so you could have it. All means, when you back it down all the way to its original language, means all. It means all. Everything. He says, consider it all joy. Don't skip it. Don't miss it. Don't bypass it. See, some people have put, they got two columns in life. They got the bad column and the good column. The column of the stuff that you're happy about and the column of the stuff that you're not happy about. And James says, stop divvying up columns in your life. Put everything in the joyful column. I know some of y'all can't see that. You're not able to see that. Matter of fact, here's what he says. Matter of fact, as a matter of fact, what he says, he not only tells us what to do, he tells us when to do it. He says, count it all joy when. When do you do it? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Have joy, be delightful, be cheerful, be glad when you fall into various trials. The word fall means to be surrounded by. It means that on every place you look, you got drama, pain, circumstances that's beyond your understanding and control. When he says count it all, somebody say all joy. Count it all joy when you are surrounded by trouble. Now here's how it works. Life has a way of catching up with you. It'd be great if I had a problem every 10 years, but it doesn't work like that. You got a problem all the time. It looks like when you fall into various trials, it means you're surrounded by them. They're all around you. In other words, as soon as you get through one trial, there's another trial there. As soon as you pay one bill, you had to scrap the money to pay that bill, then turn around, bam, there's another bill right there in the mail for you. As soon as you get one kid straightened out, then the other kids start acting up. Y'all acting like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. You got drama and pain and challenges and adversity surrounding you. It's a way of life. It's a matter of life. And James says, when you are surrounded by trials, don't get depressed. Don't get down. Don't get frustrated. Don't complain. Don't talk about why me, why now. He says, consider them all with a joyful attitude. I don't know why I thought the 12 o'clock crowd would get this. He says what to do, when to do it. You gotta, and let me see if I can help you out. It means that when you find yourself with getting fired from your job, count that joy. When you get divorce papers, count that joy. When you sent your kids to college, paid tuition, and they didn't go to none of the classes. Okay, maybe not. Don't count that joy. Maybe. No, count that joy. Come on, when your husband working and he didn't bring the money because he done gambled it all or drank it away, count that joy. When your wife don't give you none, count that joy. Just put it all. I'm just trying to help y'all understand what the scripture is trying to say. He says, count it all joy. I'm just trying to help y'all. I know some of y'all are not there. I know some of y'all in a place that you can't consider the joy. And that's why he wrote this, because he's telling you that this is what a mature Christian does. Some of us are not mature. Come on, talk to me for a second. That's why you moping and complaining and finding fault, because you haven't reached a place of maturity yet. Now I'm running ahead of myself, because he says, count it all joy when you fall in a various trial. He tells us what to do, when to do it. But hold up, he tells us why. That's the third point. Somebody say, why? So he tells us what to do, when to do it, and why we should do it. Verse 3, knowing. See, you can't count it joy if you don't know verse 3. Knowing, here it is, what do you have to know? Knowing, verse 3, that the testing of your faith produces patience. Here's what he's saying. Count it joy because you know, number one, your faith is going to be tested. Now that's an important thing. You got to know that there's going to come times in your life where God has to test your faith. I'm almost finished. Hang with me. I'm coming to a close in just a couple of moments. He says you have to know that your faith will be tested. Why is that important? Because you don't know whether your faith is legit until it's been tested. You don't know if it's real until it's been tested. You don't know whether you really believe God can work a way out for you until you're in a situation where only God can work it out for you. Somebody say, my faith has got to be tested. It's got to be tested. That's how I know it's real, because it's gone through a test. He says, you got to know. Hold up. Y'all missed it. Let me back up. Let me tell you something. Your faith, God doesn't tempt you. He tests you. There's a difference. Tempting tries to get you to do something bad. Faith and being tested gives you the opportunity to keep trusting God, even when you don't understand what's going on around you. That's what testing means. Testing means when I don't have enough money to pay my bills, but yet I still pay my tithe. Y'all ain't hearing me. Testing means that I'm going to treat my boss right, even though my boss is not treating me right. Testing means when my coworkers cuss me out, I'm not going to cuss them back out, even though I want to. Anybody here ever wanted to cuss somebody out? Who's in the cussing ministry with me? Yeah, y'all come join the cussing ministry. I'm the president of the cussing ministry. Who's the vice president? I need a vice president. Yeah, but I'm thankful that when I've been tested, God helped me to hold my tongue. Come on, somebody holler. To trust him to fight the battle, for him to work it out, for him to bring the repair, for him to fix it. I trusted him. I got trust and faith. I believe he's a waymaker, a burden bearer. I believe he can step into my situation, and even though they may not have treated me right, instead of me suing them and cussing at them, I wait on the Lord and look for him to work it out. And I've seen him work things out. I've seen him make it right. I've seen him fix it for me without me having to say a word. And when your faith gets tested and you see God work it out, it boosts your faith for the next time you got a situation that's got to be looked at. Can I get some help from anybody up in here? Now hold up. I'm almost finished. Y'all supposed to say, take your time, Pastor. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith, your faith is going to be tested. Number two, the testing of your faith, here's what you got to know. Here's why you can count it joy. Because not only your faith is being tested, but also because the testing of your faith produces patience. Now listen, y'all, I want y'all to hear me carefully. I'm about to offend somebody right now. Patience means I will continue to walk with God regardless of what my circumstances look like. Write that down. Tweet that. Instagram that. Hashtag whatever the hashtag is. Facebook. Is it Facebook? Face page. Oh, I can't get it right. Facebook that. That. Yes, yes, yes. It means patience means I'm going to keep walking and obeying God even though my circumstances are telling me different. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying to you today. In other words, God wants to produce patience. And here's what patience means. Patience means I can cheerfully walk with God. I can stick with God. I can still abide with God even though my circumstances look strange. In other words, God is saying that I want to put you through a test so that your patience can be developed. See, some of y'all ain't got no patience. You can't stick and walk with God through hell and high water because you ain't been through nothing. But when you've been through something, you have the confidence to know I can stay right here because I know God's going to work it out. I don't have to leave this marriage. I don't have to quit this job. I don't have to do anything bad because I know sooner or later God is going to work it out. He may not come as rapidly or as quickly as I want him to come, but here's what I do know. When he does come, it will be right on time. All I have to do is wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I'm going to stick with God. I'm not going to quit church. I'm not going to quit the ministry. I'm not going to cuss anybody out because I'm going to walk with God and stick with God while I'm going through the circumstances. The problem with some of you is you make your decisions on what you're going to do on the basis of what somebody else has done. But God has never called us to make decisions about what we're going to do on the basis of what somebody else has done. I'm almost finished. Count it all joy. Your faith is going to be tested. The testing produces patience. And patience, right here in verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work. When you got patience, you're going to have a perfect work done in you. Look at your neighbor and say, perfect doesn't mean that you're perfect. Look at the other side and say, and you know you ain't perfect. It does not mean, listen, it does not mean perfection. This word perfect here means maturity. Full age. It means you have matured yourself, that you know how to respond. See, the problem is we got a lot of immature Christians in church. Somebody say immature. Somebody on your row is immature. Go ahead, look up and down and see if you can figure out who it is. I'm giving you permission to point to them. Go ahead, point to them now. Yeah, there's immature Christians who don't know how to behave and respond to circumstances in a mature way. So he says, I love this. James says that the testing of your faith, you got to be able to, you want to count it joy because when you fall in these trials, you know that your faith has been tested. You know that it's going to produce patience in you and it's going to bring you to a level of maturity so you will be complete. That means in character, complete in character, lacking nothing. You will be absent of nothing. I love that passage. It has given me the ability and the power and the fortitude and the mindset to go through whatever I have to go through and count it joy. And so I'm looking at everything in my life. I can look back now and I can see that stuff I went through back then that wasn't joyful for me at the moment, that made me cry while I was going through it. I wasn't happy about it while I was in it, but I can look back now and see that what I went through back then helped to make me who I am today. And some of y'all better get that in your heart. Some of the drama that you went through in your past, God used it to help bring you to a place of maturity today. Oh yeah, you're not everything that you're going to be just yet. You still got some trials coming in front of you. But instead of crying about them, God says rejoice about them. Count it joy because God will use it to make you mature. Somebody look at your neighbor. Say, God's using this drama to make me mature. Look at your neighbor. Somebody look at your neighbor. Say, he's using it to make me mature. He's using it to grow me up. He's using the pain. He's using the trials. He's using the circumstance. He's using the situation to bring me to a place of maturity. Can I have 2 more minutes? So my wife and I have had 6 kids. Well, she had the kids. But when she got pregnant with our first child, Sarah, who I was talking about a few moments ago, she had morning sickness. I discovered that morning sickness is the result of the fertilized egg being embedded in the womb. I'm going somewhere. You're right. So the morning sickness is the result of what happens when a fertilized egg embeds in the womb. Which means that in 9 months, something full of joy is going to pop out of there. Some of y'all are crying over morning sickness situations. But you got to count it joy because you got to know that it means in a few months something positive is about to pop up out of you. Who am I preaching to today? Somebody's got some morning sickness situation. Somebody's got something going on. And by the way, when she was in the labor room, delivery room, suffering labor pains, in between the labor pains, she turned to me and said, "You will never touch me again." But when the baby came, and the baby brought her so much joy, she forgot about the morning sickness and forgot about the labor pains, and we did it 5 more times. Who am I preaching to today? You're going through something that is frustrating you and something that has made you cry. But it's okay. It's an indication that something fantastic is about to show up and step out. God, it means God is about to bring something spectacular in your life. You are going to live. You are going to win. Somebody high-five your neighbor and say, "Count it all joy." Moving everything out of the negative category and putting it in the positive category. I'm moving from complaining about it to shouting about it. I'm moving from being sad about it because I can look back now and see that what I thought was bad, God brought something good out of it. So Sarah, who was so devastated when she didn't get the Jacksonville, Florida job, got the Georgetown University job. Come on, making more money than she would have at Jacksonville. So she's been in the job for a year now. A part of her job, Donnie, is she has to go and scout players. She got to go to these camps and the tournaments and AAU and travel the country and do scouting. So she went to one of the tournaments, and while she was there, she saw the Jacksonville coach who didn't hire her. And you know what she said? She said, "Thank you for not hiring me." Some of y'all need to go to the people who hurt you and say, "Thank you for firing me." Some of y'all need to go to that boyfriend to drop you and say, "Thank you for dropping me. Hallelujah. I lost you, but I got something I wouldn't have gotten if you had stayed in my life. Thank you for firing me. I got the job I've been waiting for." Somebody say, "Count it all joy." Hey! to shout in my sanctified soul. You got to start counting it all joy. Do I have anybody here today that's willing to count it all joy? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to count it all joy. Start counting it all joy. Take back the stuff you complained about. Take back the stuff you cried about. And say, God, I count it all joy. I'm tired now. Who am I preaching to today? Okay, if I'm not preaching to you, just write it down, store it away, because you're going to need it in the future. Yeah, you need to go to the boyfriend that dropped you, the fiance that didn't want you. Listen, ladies, y'all need to stop governing your life. I'm sorry, ruling your life on these jokers. If they don't want you, stop doing everything that you shouldn't do to keep them. Y'all shouldn't have came to this service. You know what you need to do? You need to have the attitude that if they don't want you, your attitude ought to be, that's your loss. Is this the basketball team right here? It's the 15-year-old team going to the Nationals where? In Hampton. Are they going to bring back this the Dynamic Disciples team? The church's basketball team? They're going to Hampton to play in the Nationals. And are they going to bring back the championship? I'm going to still count it joy, even if you don't bring it back. Hallelujah. Somebody high-five your neighbor. Say, I'm going to count it all joy from this point on, from this moment forward. No more complaints, no more crying. I'm going to count it all joy. Stand on your feet and help me give God a shout if you don't mind. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name. Help us to be people who know that you're the God that will never allow anything to come into our life that's beyond our capacity. And you are the God who allows this thing to test our faith. But we know it produces patience. And when patience has finished its work, it brings us to a place of maturity, completeness, lacking nothing. Now draw somebody to be saved, Father, that needs Jesus Christ, forgiveness of their sins through him. Draw them. Somebody backslidden, draw them. Somebody who has doesn't have the assurance, draw them. Somebody who's saved but need a church home, draw them now, Father, by the power of your Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.